Well, let's say about the interesting encounter that your grandfather Sadulek had been was Willa Cather in about 1915. Would you say how that happened?
Do I start from the beginning? I was living with my grandparents at the time while my mother was in medical school, and there was a train that would come down to Wilbur from Lincoln, and between trains we often had company from Lincoln. At one time there was a young woman came on the noon train and stopped at the drugstore and asked the owner if he could recommend someone to her who would be able to give her some typical names, Czech names, because she was writing a book that the heroine was a Czech girl who lived in the area of Red Cloud where she was born. My grandfather, of course, was happy to do that and told her many Czech names, and she suddenly asked him, what did you name your own children? What did you give them Czech names? And he said yes, that they were all Czech. But she said, what was the first child's name? And he said, Antonia. And she was, and he said, my wife, when our first child was born, wanted to name her after her brother, her favorite brother, whose name was Anton. This interested Miss Cather because she said that the girl's name, real name, which of course was not used in the book, was named Sadulek, and her father's name was Anton. And that coincidence seemed interesting to all of us as I heard them speaking of it. Then a short time went on, and the book was published, and one of the first copies was autographed and sent to my grandfather with a note of thanks for the help that he had given Miss Cather. We all read the book, and then for a number of years I wondered what happened to it, because when Willa Cather became famous for her writings, I wanted to have that autographed book of my Antonia. But my grandfather, I found later in a letter from my mother when she was in Czechoslovakia, she had gone to visit the man to whom my grandfather had sent that book after we had read it. He had suggested to Mr. Jung, who had been in Nebraska, that he translate the book into the Czech language. But Mr. Jung had grown old and feeble, and was not, when my mother interviewed him or talked with him, he was not able, said he was not able to do anything as important as a translation. And then I realized where Miss Cather's book had landed.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother, Olga Szczesny, Dr. Olga Szczesny, know Alice Masaryk?
Yes, in the earlier days in Czechoslovakia, she Miss Masaryk was very active in the Red, as one of the leaders of the Red Cross work, post World War I work, and mother being a doctor, and being able to hold medical and nurses training courses in Czechoslovakia, had a great deal of contact with Alice Masaryk, and also learned to know some of the other in the family, Jan Masaryk, and the older sister.
regarding your parents, your father, who was doctor of dentistry, he died relatively young while you were young. How did it come about that your mother started to study medicine? She actually decided to carry on and her late husband's death. You know, when
when my father died.
What year was it?
1907. I was just a little girl, and my mother and my father had planned that when they had saved enough money, he had a good practice in Wilburn. When they had saved enough money, that they would go on to school and become doctors. My father had, that was his wish, to become a doctor. And mother thought that she would like to, they would work together. She would perhaps be in certain types of medical work, and they could work together. But my father died before they attained that plan. And I lived with my grandparents. But my mother went on to medical school, and it was, of course, this which gave her the great opportunity to work in Czechoslovakia, to have contacts that she might not have had any other way. And the fact that she had played in the good plays.
She did play in some Czech plays in Wilburn.
The fact that she had seen all of my family, practically my mother, my father, my grandfather and grandmother and aunts and uncles played in those Czech plays, and the fact that she had played some very important parts in those Czech plays during the time of my father's life, and then later earlier, really, when my grandfather and grandmother were active in that. And that gave her a command of the Czech language that was a marvel to the folks overseas, that she should have been born and brought up in America and yet spoke very good Czech. And it won them to her, and naturally she was very happy in that atmosphere. Her love for the Czech music and her knowledge of the history and the literature also won her friends, and she had a really wonderful contact with many fine people there. After her work with Miss Masaryk in the Red Cross, she was asked to join the YMCA and gave lectures on sex hygiene and the social life that they should expect when they got back to the post-World War I soldiers, as they were still retained in the camps of Czechoslovakia. And I have a map, I think I showed that to you last time, that in which she has marked all the different YMCA camps that she, where she spoke to the young soldiers and tried to encourage them to keep themselves clean and to go back to their families and renew their lives again after their experiences in the World War I. And she was there from 1919 to late 1921. And it was a wonderful experience for her and for us when we read of all her so many letters of telling us of the great satisfaction she had in going back to her parents and her husband's birthplace and having such fine contact with the Czechs.
Did your grandfather Sabulek ever go back to a visit to Czechoslovakia?
Yes, he went back three times.
Three times.
Once just a few years after he came to America. Once in about 1910, I think it was. And then in 1920, when the Czechs were celebrating their
so-called
liberation from Austria, there was a boatload of American Czechs who went over to, at the time when the great Sokol meeting was held, big Sokol meeting. And and my grandfather went back there. And of course, my mother was in Czechoslovakia at the time. And my grandmother and my brother and aunt and uncle, Mr. and Mrs. Emil Folda, were all in a party that went to that special celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And I have pictures of that sled and the wonderful parade ground with the Sokols in perfect order, and she wrote about attending that. My brother, unfortunately, never came back from that trip. He fell to the ground in a flaming airplane, and at Gubele, near Prague, and died on the same day. My aunt and uncle stayed in Czechoslovakia for a year, but my grandfather came back soon after this accident. Then that was the last time, of course, that he went to Czechoslovakia. But he had correspondence with a number of people there, and we often had visitors from Czechoslovakia because of my mother's and my grandfather's contacts there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did your mother react, you know, since she knew, for example, Jan Masaryk and members of the family, when Jan Masaryk tragically, according to the communists, jumped from the window? How did she react to this? She was still alive at the time, your mother,
yes.
Wasn't she?
Yes, my mother, after she came back from her World War, post-World War experiences, and then later work in Greece with refugees from Turkey, she established her medical, re-established her medical service in Omaha. And I happened to be visiting my mother in Omaha when the news came about Jan Masaryk. And she couldn't believe, in the first place she was horrified that the thing should be done at all, and the second place she couldn't believe that he committed suicide. She said, "You can't make me believe that. I knew him too well for that. And I don't believe it. I think it was the machination of the communists."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is what, of course, I think most people believe, you know, including myself.
She felt a real sorrow because it happened that she not only had known him in Czechoslovakia and knew how faithfully he worked for his father and respected who his father was and the work that he was doing, but she had happened to be on shipboard one time when Jan Masaryk was coming to one of his visits to America, and they worked out a little program together on the ship, and they had there were a number of times when she had a personal knowledge and a social relationship with him that made her really feel very badly. And of course I realized that to her it was a blow when that news came, not only for his sake but because of Czechoslovakia's sake.
What about your own experiences in Wilbur and general Czech life? Your reminiscences, your and your husband's reminiscences probably go to the part of, let's say, 1915. You were married in 1917?
Married in 1917.
And then you lived in Wilbur.
We lived on a farm, not too far from Wilbur, and Wilbur was our town base. We attended organizational meetings, we attended church, we attended school and high school, because our children went to high school in Wilbur, and we had contact with many of the Wilbur people. So
did the Czech were still active in say after 1920 in presenting the stage plays or concerts or the music shows of any sort? What did Malešany sort of reach the peak, and what is the
I think it reached the peak more during my or during the years of perhaps 1910 to 15, somewhere in there, as far as social life and doing things in the Czech way, with Czech people. But after that, it deteriorated. Even there were certain ones like my grandfather and different ones in the community, who were always thinking of the Czech way of promoting a knowledge of the Czech and a respect for the Czech, not only as a nation, but personal friends, and so our personal social relationships and love of democracy and things, liberal thought and things of that sort.
Would you say that the reason for this reaching peak was at the moment you said up to 1915 or 1918, up to the end of the First World War? Would it be practically psychological that at that point the Czechoslovakia became independent, that perhaps that stimulus given by many immigrants who left in 1870s, 1880s was there, you know, to do something for the language, which was still a little bit on the defense in Austrian monarchy? Or would it be other general feeling that the fact that there were fewer immigrants coming into the country, I mean to Wilbur here, would you say that was the reason that just a generational problem, or would you think there was just not enough interest or the person, just as if a goal has been accomplished by Czech independence, and therefore American Czech can then relax and simply see, you know, perhaps occasionally meet the old friends, but the original impulse wasn't simply there? Would you say there was an is it different that your grandfather would
was,
say?
It became a more of an affair of memories than impulse. And that would be natural, because all of the United States at that time began, instead of being a group of Czechs and a group of Germans and groups working together, and certainly I would think that World War I was a great incentive to not only thinking about, but trying to do something to help the situation of Czechia in those days. But I think it came about naturally in that the Czechs began to travel more in their own country, as American Czechs. They began to move around, to intermarry with others, and with other nationalities, and I think it just outgrew. But I do think that you're right, that the impulse to the time before the war, World War, was a time when they were most actively, organizationally, and giving donations and helping and thinking and writing back and forth to their people. I think there was a great joy when the country became liberated. Mm-hmm. And that was maybe the peak.
Mm-hmm.
But it began to, after that, we began to spread around more. My children are in Texas. My uncle lived, one of them that lived out in Oregon. Another part of my family live in California now, and some of them live on the eastern coast, and some of them, one branch has even gone up and lived in Canada for now, the third generation. I think that we just spread and didn't, and those organizations began to dwindle, and perhaps in the minds of many Czech people, there were a few of us that cherished some of the old things, but many of the interesting things may have been lost because of.
I think myself personally.
Spreading out so much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, spreading out, but I think basically the people born of, I mean, children born of Czech parents, they may keep it maybe one, possibly two generations, you know, the habit, but I think the next generation after that is. It's already now there's intermarriage and mm-hmm. the influence of American way of life
yes.
earliest takes place, which is quite normal, natural, you know. So I'm just wondering, you know, I was trying to detect, you know, the some point, you know, where you could, from your own experience, detect any definite change, you know, that organizational activity, you know, social activities like plays, you know, after the first stage play was presented in Wilbur in 1877. It was named Palicheva Cera. I remember that reading it. And
that's when my grandfather was, asked him to come and play an important part, and he later became a director.
uh-huh. And well, I tell you, if you take that early, you look at Czech newspapers, you know, there were so many of them, you know, it's another aspect of the same thing, of the lodges. Now, this was so active from 1870s through perhaps 1920 or 1918 or whatever. Then it reached its peak, you know, so to speak, and then I assume people became American, you know, or they became more knowledgeable about the country, and the new immigrants were fewer, I suppose,
yes.
after the First
yes,
World War.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And, even if those who came wouldn't go into farming, that's another point in Wilbur.
Yes,
there were probably a few of them
true.
Coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a certain historical setting in Wilbur at certain time under certain circumstances, pioneering life, which was very simple, which created a type of culture, you know, which could exist for maybe five or so decades.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly, you know, what is interesting about the uniqueness of this type of experience. And, you know, I suppose it's easy to understand why it happened, that it's different. Everything else is different, really. But I thought that by asking you, when did you feel the difference? Like, you have since 1963, there's an attempt to restore some of that activity, a so-called Wilbur Festival, what's called.
Mm-hmm.
And what, how do you think that compares with those things that you remember, you know, that life at that time? What kind of reaction does it bring to your mind, you know?
Well,
what
it's Wilbur sometimes
Festival?
A mixed reaction because I remember some of the remarks of the older Czechs.
Mm-hmm.
That had gone through the real thing, and now here are these. Here is this third, fourth generation trying to imitate it, and sometimes we had to laugh about certain things because, and it's natural. Some of those things were Americanized. I think it's a laudable thing. Because I do think, and I just had a woman tell me the other day, that's the one thing that the Czech Festival did. There was a time when some of the Czechs, and not so much in Wilbur, because there were more Czechs in Wilbur, but in Crete, there was a sort of a division between the English up at Doane College and the Crete folks that lived down on the other end of town. And some of those people had a tendency to be a little hesitant as to admit that they were Czech, and they Americanized their names. And it hurt the people to whom that was a precious thing. And we saw that happen, and we saw, now for instance, it's just a little thing, but the Czech band, and they have a nice band that plays Czech things, and they have a Czech costume, but that Czech costume is little tiny short skirts and little tiny aprons, mm-hmm. which isn't Czech at all. The Czech costume, the old Czech costume that the folks wore when they came to the, before they came to this country, was below the knees skirts, full, and an apron as long as the skirt. Well, I can remember the arguments between the older folks and the younger folks. The younger folks felt that it was more pert and more, you know, you mm-hmm. could march better and all that. And some of those things, they're really amusing in a way that there should be an argument about them. But there was a definite sense of, they don't know how it all was in those days, and they don't realize, and we have to understand that to a certain extent, even those old precious memories have been Americanized. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, of course, that it has made some of our Czech people, even in Wilbur and very much in other places, proud of their Czech heritage. And the promotion of the craft, Czech craft, and ingenuity, and the past history of these of the finer Czechs in America, it has done something that I think has helped the children and makes the older folks proud that their children are learning it and that it's being sponsored through things like the Wilbur Czech Festival.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think, are there any other ways how this should be accomplished, you know, this type of goal, you know, to along this line, like teaching perhaps Czech, have a Czech classes for children from Czech family? Do you think that, is this so feasible or not, in your
view? It is becoming less and less so because our children in their schools, naturally, the Czech language is being lost along the way. And to force it upon the children, we never felt that we could. What I learned about the Czech came to me naturally by associating with or having the good fortune to be with those people to whom all those things meant something. But to force it on our youth of today, I don't think it'll get very far. I don't think it will help. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's kind of useless. Such a thing as the Wilbur Czech days, I think that it's a nice thing, and many people seem to enjoy it, and it does help create in the younger folks' minds that there was something really valuable, and maybe makes them communication with their own people better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we perhaps might conclude, you know. I would like to appreciate very much your time you could give, you know, to getting all the materials together and getting your reminiscences together in a way.
Oh, I have so many reminiscences that I could keep you here all day.
Yes, well, our purpose was to establish certain facts about the, you know, your background, the family, your when they came and what did they do, and how you most of it, how you remember them, you know, in your own way and your own style, and a few other things that would pertain to generally Czech community in Nebraska. And I think we covered most of it, but we did not cover is probably we have probably recorded in elsewhere in various items you gave to us, particularly in your grandfather's reminiscences, which are quite a magnificent reading.
Could I tell you something really, I think it's amusing. Mm-hmm. You spoke some time ago of my grandfather's political and other associations in Wilbur. The other day in the newspaper, I read a phrase that said something about, that's vote for the political barrel. And to me, it brought up a memory. My grandfather and grandfather Sadulek and Aloy Slipichka, man of Wilbur, with a horse and buggy, drove out to farms near Wilbur to promote their political aspirations for Saline County Courthouse jobs. And this was, way back, I don't know, maybe in the 1890s. One check farm which they visited seemed to have no one at home. Years later, the wife of the man who owned that farm told Grandpa this story. She said it was a hot day, a very hot day, and she had been